Thank you very much for here this evening. And as I said to Stephen before I came, I would like just to give you a little bit of my testimony on how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. Obviously, this is my first time being here, so I just wanted to give you a little bit of a background on how I came to know Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I'd like to turn to the book of Ephesians, please, in chapter number 2, Ephesians chapter 2. And after I give you my testimony, what I will do is we'll look at the scriptures once again and we'll look at the gospel message, which is good news for everyone here. So Ephesians chapter 2, well-known verse, commencing at verse 8, and it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we'll ask that the Lord will bless his public reading to us at this point in time. Now, before I was born, my mum and my dad, they were both Jehovah's Witnesses, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses for almost 25 years. And they were brought up in a family home who were Jehovah's Witnesses. My grandparents on both sides were all Jehovah's Witnesses. And I'm not going to tell you much about my parents' testimony. My mum has written a book, which is actually in the Richie's Christian Bookshop. So she's wrote her testimony explaining how she came out of that organisation. But my mum and dad, they were married. And as they were married, they were going to the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses. And my dad began to have doubts over the teachings that were involved in that time. And long story short, my dad realised who Christ was, realised who the Lord Jesus Christ really was, and put his faith and trust in him at that point and left the Watchtower organisation. Now, obviously, my mum and dad were married, and it was a strain on their marriage to begin with and a strain on the family, because obviously the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that if one was to forsake their company, they would have to shun them and they would have to have no dealings with them whatsoever. And obviously my mum was obviously upset, but yet my mum decided to keep going to the Kingdom Hall because she believed at that point that she was in the truth, as it were, as how they would announce it. But before my mum got saved, I was born, and as I was born, my mother decided to take me to the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses as a baby. Obviously, I don't remember anything about that at all. But she took me along, and she believed that she was doing what God had wanted her to do, to bring me up in the truth, as it were. And so for 2 years, I was going to the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses with my mum, and my dad was praying for 4 years that my mum would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her saviour. And the reason I'm telling you this part of my testimony is because I want to show you how good God is. I'm going to show you how good God is in the fact that his timing is perfect. You know, there's a verse on the wall of the Whitmore's house and it says, "As for God, his way is perfect." And I believe that this verse that's on the Whitmore's wall in the home, this verse would apply to that. As my dad was praying that my mum would know the Lord Jesus Christ as her saviour, my mum was expecting another child, my sister, and just before she gave birth to my sister, my mum decided to try and prove my dad wrong and try to explain who Jesus Christ was in her eyes. And she went to the public library, and as she went to the public library to try and disprove who Christ was, obviously there wasn't the internet in those days, she took out some Greek interlinears and tried to disprove my dad, and realised that by trying to disprove my dad, she disproved herself and her teachings, and she got a shock and was coming home not realising or confused as to who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And when she came home, she opened up to my dad and asked my dad about who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And obviously this was a shock to my dad as well, because at this point my mum and dad would never have any spiritual discussions whatsoever, and my mum was forbidden to do such things. And my dad opened up and explained who Christ was, explained the way of salvation. And at that point, my mum realised that she had been deceived by going to this cult, this organisation, realised who the Lord Jesus Christ was, realised that salvation was in a person rather than an organisation. And she put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Shortly after my mum was saved, my sister was born. And there was complications with regards to my sister's birth, in so much that the doctors came to my mum and said that in order for my sister to survive, she would need a blood transfusion. Now my mum, obviously just coming out of the witnesses at that time, still having the Jehovah's Witness hat on, as it were, she told the doctors that that wouldn't be the case, that she couldn't accept the blood transfusion. But my dad stepped in and explained that that was fine, that was no longer an issue for us, and that she would be allowed it. My sister received a blood transfusion, and my sister is alive today. She's saved, she's married to a Christian, and has three children. One of her children is saved as well. And that shows you that God will answer prayer, and he does it in a way that it's his way, that his way is perfect, to show us his glory. You know, if my mum hadn't got saved at that point, my sister may have not been alive to this point, because my mum would have perhaps refused to have a blood transfusion for my sister. But that shows you that God was working in our family's life. Now, because I was born in a sort of half Jehovah's Witness, half Christian home, that didn't make me either or. It didn't make me a Christian. And when I was 5 years of age, I don't remember the date of when I was saved, but I remember the day well, that it was a nice day. I don't know why I remember that. I just remember it was a nice day. My dad was at work. My mum was in the kitchen doing the dishes, and my sister was upstairs asleep. And I was in the living room of my parents' house, and I looked at a text on the wall that my mother had recently put up. And that text was what I read just there, just now. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And I thought, well, I'm going to learn this verse and go through to my mum and try and explain that I've learned this verse and try and please my mum. But as I was reading this verse, I was stuck on the word grace. I didn't know what grace meant as a five-year-old. And I pondered at the verse, and I knew what the word saved meant, but saved from what? So rather than trying to learn it and trying to please my mum, I decided to go through and ask her what the verse meant. I was very inquisitive at that time, and I'm still inquisitive to this day. But as I went through to my mum, I explained to my mum, I said, "Mum, what does that verse on the wall through the living room mean? I don't understand it." And she told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. She told me that I was a sinner, that I needed forgiven in order to go to heaven. And I realised there and then, as a five-year-old, that I was a lost sinner. I realised that I needed the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hadn't called upon him, and I wanted him to save me. And there and then, in the kitchen of my parents' home, I just called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and believed that he was the one only that could save me. Now, growing older, you know, through my teenage years and whatnot, my grandparents on my mum's side were still Jehovah's Witnesses. And because I wasn't a Jehovah's Witness or professed to be a Jehovah's Witness, it was okay for them to speak to me. But for a long time, even into my teenage years, my grandparents would have little dealings with my own parents, and that's a long time if you consider that. But my grandpa, he tried to bring me back to the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses, as it were. I remember before my teenage years, as a 7-year-old, my mum and dad had to go down to a funeral in England, and They didn't want to take us with them, and they couldn't turn to anyone else to look after me, my sister, and my grandparents decided to take it upon themselves to look after me for the weekends, because it took great delight in them that if they could look after me for the weekends, that they could take me to the Kingdom Hall, Jehovah's Witnesses. So I remember on a Sunday morning, I remember going, and as a 7-year-old, I still remember one of the messages that that man said. And obviously he was preaching from a corrupt Bible, and his message wasn't clear. And I just remember how that they would conduct their way of things as well. But in me, I just realised that this wasn't what God wanted. I don't know how to explain that. I just realised that this wasn't the way of God. And through my teenage years, my papa, my grandpa, he tried to bring me back to the Watchtower organisation. What he would do is that he would phone the house. And as a 16-year-old or late 15, 16-year-old, I was in the house on my own sometimes when my parents were working. And my papa would phone the house and he would say, "Is your mum home?" I said, "No." "Is your dad home?" "No." "Okay, no problem, I'll speak to you again soon." And he put the phone down. Within 15 minutes, I'd get a trap on the door. And when I opened the door, it was two Jehovah's Witnesses. You see, the Jehovah's Witnesses would never come to the house if they knew my parents were home. And they were forbidden to speak to my mum and dad. And if they knew my mum and dad were home, they would never, ever knock on that door. But because my grandpa often phoned me just to make sure if my parents were away, they would get them to come to the house and try and speak to me concerning their beliefs. And I remember one day standing at the door as a 15-year-old. I didn't know my Bible at that point very well. But all I could remember was that verse on the wall that brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, "You believe that works save you, don't you?" And he said, "Well, yes, of course, you know, works are an important factor of salvation." And I said, "Well, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ without works." And I quoted him Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And I just remember the look on that Jehovah Witness's face, shocked, and said, "Okay, well, we'll speak to you again later." And he walked away. You know, the Word of God can do a lot of things. And it was the Word of God that pushed that man away that day. I believe that to this day. I was baptised when I was 15. Later came into fellowship shortly afterwards. And that is really my testimony. But to this day, I still try and teach Jehovah's Witnesses and preach to them, not out of spite, not out of bitterness, but out of love, because they are deceived. And these people think that they are serving God. You know, the Apostle Paul, he thought he was serving God at one stage as well, until the Lord Jesus Christ opened his eyes. And these people are deceived and on the way to hell. And it's important to tell people about salvation. So that is really my testimony as to how I knew the Lord Jesus Christ and how I came to know him as my saviour. But I'd like just to turn to the book of Corinthians, please, just to give you a short gospel message. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll commence at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." There's 4 points I want to make within this section, and as mentioned, it won't be too long. But the 4 points I want to make is just breaking down this verse. First point I want to look at is Christ died. The second point I want to look at is for our sins. The third point I want to look at is that he was buried. And the last point I want to look at is he rose again. Christ died. You see, there are people here today, we're all sinners. Every one of us have sinned. And the Bible says that Christ died for our sins. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he took it upon himself to come into this world to pay the punishment of our sins. Back in the Old Testament, you only have to look at the sacrifices that the children of Israel made and did in order to atone for their sins, even just for that 1 year. It's recorded in the book of Leviticus that the bloods of lambs and bulls and goats were made sacrifices to atone for the sins of Israel for 1 full year. But Christ came to give us eternal redemption, not just for 1 year, not just until we sin again, but eternally. He came to pay the price for our sins eternally. And as the Bible says that Christ died for our sins, or Christ died, he experienced persecution, he experienced torture, if you want to put it that way. He experienced a lot of pain and suffering, all because of us. You see, prior to the cross, they took him. They buffeted him. In other words, they hit him across the face. They would blindfold him and say, "Prophesy, who hit thee?" You know, they pulled at his beards. Basically, they were just mocking at him, laughing at him, jeering at him. The spittle would run down his face. His face would be in pain just for the hits and the punches of men. His beard pulled. Yet Christ done that for us. He went through that for us. And as he went through that for us, they whipped his back. Now the Bible says that when they whipped his back, it was like a ploughed field. When they whipped his back, it wasn't just, you know, the leather that would hit his back, but they would have had bone and brittle in amongst that, that would have pierced his back. Blood flowing down from his back. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was enduring that for our sake. He would have been in a lot of pain at that point. You can imagine having your back whipped as much as that, unmercifully. And yet they made him carry a heavy cross upon his back after that was done. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he took it upon himself to carry that cross. But when he got to that hill, they put nails into both of his hands. Nails into his feet. They put a crown of thorns into his skull. Again, more blood flowing down from his face. Perhaps blood going into his eyes, marring his vision. And you can imagine that the Lord Jesus Christ was going through that for our sake. And on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, he looked down upon that cross that day. In the pain that he was in, looking down and seeing other people laughing at him. You see, the Bible records in Matthew's Gospel that when the two thieves came, both thieves were railing on him right at the beginning. So it wasn't that one thief had a change of mind concerning what the other thief had. Both thieves were railing on him at the beginning. But it wasn't until time when one of the thieves began to realise the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and began to see who this person was, that this thief then realised that this was the Messiah for Israel. For he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And I've been thinking about this, that as the Lord Jesus Christ was on that cross in that amount of pain, his own people laughing at him, mocking at him from down below, he would still look to that thief and say, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." In the amount of pain that he was in, he would still give someone a blessing of salvation. But the Bible also records that the angels, legions of angels, could have took him off that cross. But he didn't call upon those angels. Yet, he looked to his Father and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, Christ died on that cross for our sins. Second point I want to look at is for our sins. You might say, well, I'm not really a sinner as such. And I've heard people say that to me. I remember my old workplace. I was in the office alone one day and my colleague came in. It was just myself, my colleague, and I had no intention of just preaching the gospel to him. My intention was just talking about work only. But he brought up a point concerning, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he brought up a point concerning, you know, sin. And I said to him, well, I'm a Christian, as you know, and the Bible says that all have sinned. And he said, well, I've not sinned. And I said, tell me, have you ever told a lie before? And he said, well, that's not a sin. And I goes, according to who? Because according to God, a lie is a sin. You know, it doesn't matter what we've done. Even if we've just told one white lie in all our life, that would be impressive, but that's still enough to get us out of heaven. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're born into sin and that we're sinners from the day of birth. The Bible says in Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was a man in the Bible, his name was Solomon, and he was the most wisest man in the world. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, he said, for there is not a man that sinneth not. Because Solomon in all his wisdom knew that there was no man on this earth who did no sin. And as Solomon would say that, the Apostle Paul would also say that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And the Bible says that no sin can enter into heaven. And the only way we can have our sins forgiven is by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ died for our sins. And the next point, number three, is that he was buried. You know, the Bible records in Isaiah chapter 53 that the Lord Jesus Christ was buried among the wicked, or with the wicked. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was buried amongst the wicked, the Bible also records that the Lord Jesus Christ did not sin whatsoever. The Bible says that there was no deceit in his mouth. The Bible says that in him was no sin. He could not sin. The Bible says that he was the spotless Lamb of God. And now if you can just remember that, and remember the verse that he was buried amongst the wicked. There was no wickedness in the Lord Jesus Christ whatsoever. But yet, he was buried amongst the wicked. There was no sin in the Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever there was no sin in the Lord Jesus Christ, in so much that he was perfect. He was the only perfect man that walked this earth. If he had sin of his own, then he could not pay the price of our sin. And there's false teachings out there that say that Christ paid the penalty of his own sins first of all, and then the sins for the whole world. But that is nonsense, because the Bible says that in him was no sin. But he was buried amongst the wicked, those who had sinned. But yet, this perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the only man who entered into this world, who was perfect, spotless, without any wickedness in him, who was buried. And the fourth point I'd like to make is that on the third day, he rose again. And it is vital to know that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again. You know, the Watchtower organisation, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they would teach that God the Father disposed of Jesus Christ's body, and therefore Christ didn't rise again. Well, Paul says that if Christ is not risen, then our faith is in vain and we are yet still in our sins. And if that is the case, And if Christ has not risen, then it is pointless me standing on this platform here today to tell you about a Saviour, because there would be no Saviour. But the Bible says that He rose again from the grave. He's alive today as well. When the Lord Jesus Christ, He rose again on the third day, He went to His disciples and He showed the disciples that He was alive, to give them hope, to take away their fears. But remember Thomas, and Thomas didn't believe to begin with. And Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail prints in His hand and in His side, I will not believe." So the Lord, after 7 days, appeared unto Thomas and said, "Touch me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bone, as you see me have." It wasn't a spirit that appeared unto Thomas, or the disciples that He appeared to. And then He showed Thomas the nail prints in His hand and in His side. And when Thomas saw the nail prints in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and His side, Thomas realized that this was his Lord, for he said, "My Lord and my God." The Lord Jesus Christ was risen. Over 500 witness accounts testify of His resurrection. And after 40 days being on the earth, at that point, the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven. The hope for us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is that He will soon come to take us home to heaven, away from this wicked world. The Bible also says that our bodies will be fashioned like unto His glorious body, a body that cannot sin, a body that cannot think evil or wicked, but we will be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And that is a hope for the believer. But the hope for the sinner is this, that you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ today in all your sin and all your wickedness. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The verse that I read in the beginning, "For by grace are you saved through faith, it is not of yourselves." In other words, there's nothing that you can do to inherit everlasting life other than believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no amount of works that you can do. You know, the Bible tells me in Titus 3 verse 5, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. You cannot say, "Well, I've done this in order to have my sins forgiven," because that's taken away the glory of God. That's taken away the purpose of Christ on this earth. And that is why Paul says in Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast." Salvation is a free gift. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 5, verses 15, 16 and 18, that salvation is not only a gift, but it's a free gift. If you were to give a gift to someone, you don't expect any exchange in return. You either humbly accept it or you reject it. That is it. And that's what Christ is offering you today, a pardon for your sins. You hear about people who have committed crimes and yet, because of their circumstances, they may be pardoned because of some sort of service, but yet the Lord Jesus Christ, He has paid the price of our sins. And if we come to Him, we can be pardoned for all our sins, all because we've come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon, at the beginning of this gospel meeting today, said that the Lord Jesus Christ has not rejected anyone. Well, the Bible says, and that is correct, and the Bible says that "He that cometh to me," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "I shall in no wise cast out." If you're not a believer today, or you're not saved today, and as we've been reminded at the start of this meeting, time is short. And there might be someone here today who has not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. I want just to give a little story just before I finish. It's a story that I heard about a man in America. Now this man in America, he was a big tall guy, quite muscly, and someone tried to preach the gospel to him one day. And he got angry. And he said, "Don't you know who I am?" And he got really angry at this man preaching the gospel to him. So the man went away. And this man, who was a big man with big muscles, he couldn't sleep that night for hearing the words of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for him. He couldn't sleep. So on Sunday morning, he went to this church where this man had preached the gospel to him. And as he came in, the only seat that was left was the front seat. And he came and sat in the front seat, and he listened to the gospel message intently, without any distraction. And at the end of that gospel message, this man broke out in tears. This big, massive man broke out in tears in the gospel meeting. And the preacher at the end came down and sat next to him and says, "I can see that you're upset." And he says, "Yeah, I didn't realise that God loved me. I didn't realise that God had such love for me that he would send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in place of me." And the preacher explained to him more about salvation, and that man accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his saviour. The next kind of day, this man was at work, and he was a builder, and he had a heart attack, and he died. You see, he had one day left in this life, and God knew that. And God worked on his heart. That man is now in glory. That man is now in the presence of the Lord. You see, that man was not much older than I was. Perhaps there's someone today who thinks that they've got plenty of time, who thinks that they'll get saved just before they die. But let me remind you, we don't know when we have. We don't know how long we've got. And if you're here today and if you're not saved, may I and just encourage you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Because by rejecting him, you'll face a lost eternity of punishment. And it's not a place that you'd want to go to either. That is why the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It is easy. And the reason that it's easy, the reason that it's simple, is because the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God doesn't desire the death of the wicked. He doesn't desire to see you go to hell. But God has sent his only begotten Son to be the Saviour of this world in order to pay the price of your sin if you accept his free gift that he is offering you today. We'll just close with a word of prayer. Thank you. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we come into your presence. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks, Father, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary. We give thanks, Father, that salvation is a free gift. Salvation is not on what we do, but salvation is what we believe in concerning Christ and concerning his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Father, we're thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross. We are reminded that he could have called upon legions of angels to take him away from that situation, yet, Father, he endured the cross for our sakes. And Father, we just pray that if there's anyone here this evening who has not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Saviour, may they do so today. Because the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So Father, we just pray today for those who are without Christ, that they would be in Christ, that they would know Christ as their Saviour. We just pray that you would help us to all have a safe journey home as well. And give them thanks in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.